Thank you, Scott. Love you. Hallelujah. Well, God knows when to reach down and bless us right good, don't he? Yes, sir. He showed me many years ago when I'd stand before a congregation. I always remember just about on every pew, there's a broken heart. And preachers, we don't want to forget that. And they sort of need some special attention, Scott. I was thinking last night I didn't get very far, I guess, as far as God wanted me to go. First, I'll say I don't come here with anything down pat. Or I don't even know how to do that. Just to say to you what God says to me.
Amen. It'll work.
And I got to thinking last night, hear how those Israelites didn't eat any lamb, and the time they left Egypt, Passover night, they got to the promised land at least. They had enough lamb for the trip. Had enough lamb to get them home. Boy, God bless my heart. One evening that dawned on me, and I didn't have anybody to preach to. It dawned on me, I picked up enough lamb April 16th, 1953, at an old time revival to get me home. These some of my friends, you know, these other abominations, if you want to call them that, will disagree with me right there, but I tell them they got a right to be wrong. This is America. But I got enough lamb to get me home, buddy. If that makes you mad, you can come and apologize and I'll forgive you. But not only that, something else dawned on me. Now, that's safe in there behind the blood. But don't you know that was a long night, preacher? God passed through Goshen. You know, we've grown up thinking, you know, that he sent an angel, death angel. No, sir, God came himself. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. First person.
Yes.
Huh? As a long night for those Israelites.
Sure.
But they had enough lamb to get them through that long night.
Oh, Lord, yes, Doc.
Boy, don't try to tell me you don't have some long nights.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Good.
I went for 7 months, and it'd take two or three to pull me up with rheumatoid arthritis. And I still have a few long nights. Pain and restless. But I got enough lamb to get me by. Get me through. See me on home, buddy. And every once in a while, I mean, the night gets so long. Though God knows we need a little extra something, and he knows when to apply it, don't he?
Yes.
I sing because they're an empty grave, don't you? He's got the power to save. Hallelujah. Boy, sometimes church I feel more like shouting than preaching. I get to thinking how good God's been to me. I tell you what, back there in the mountains at Spring Creek, I have one of my men go out in his field and get me a big old rock, thing weigh about 7,500 pounds, and put it on the communion table. And I have a lot of people question me over that rock. And I tease some of them, you know, Jesus said, he that's without guilt and cast the first stone. Well, they can't pick that up. But why I've got it there, remember yonder when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday And that crowd, I mean, they went wild. Hosanna to the highest. And that old deadhead crowd didn't like it, and they went to Jesus, and they said, shut them up.
Yeah.
This annoys us. We don't like this. Well, why didn't they go to that crowd? Why'd they go to Jesus? They knew they couldn't do nothing with them. I mean, they people in that crowd, boy, he raised their youngins from the dead. You ain't going to shut a man up. So they knew they wasn't a bit of need on earth, them going to the people. So they went to Jesus to shut them up. He said, let me tell you something. If they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. I said, now if you out there and you don't like it, I got a rock right here to holler for you. Huh?
That's all right, brother.
Yes, sir. Every once in a while, I'll just stop in the message and lean over and say, oh, rock, you ain't going to shout for me. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. We ought to be the shout in this crowd this side of heaven tonight. God's blessed us. Helped us. Took care of us. I realize we're right in the middle of a long night, ain't we? You don't have to listen to news very long, read the newspaper much to know that. It's awful dark in this day. Amen. But we got enough lamb to get us through. I had a preacher tell me, Scott, he said, I held my little boy in my arms his last night on earth, preacher. Said he closed his eyes, and just before he did, he said, Daddy, I'll see you in the morning. And he said, Brother Bob, sometimes I can't hardly wait till morning.
Oh my, yeah.
Hallelujah. Morning's coming. But glory to God, I got enough lamb to get me through the night.
Amen, Doc. That's all right.
And I ain't gonna let no rock shout for me.
Amen, Doc.
I'm just gonna praise God and glorify God. Amen. Hallelujah. You got a Bible tonight? Like to follow in the scripture. Book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I'm interested in the 7th verse of the 4th chapter, 2 Kings. I ask you to stand if you're physically able. Honor the one that wrote the book. 4th chapter, 2 Kings, verse number 7. Very familiar portion of God's word. Bible said about this widow, then she came to the man of God, and he said unto her, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'd take it tonight and accomplish that, dear God, you'd have done with it. Lord, I can't, but you can. I come to allow you. Somewhere down the road, I'll bow down and praise you and glorify you. Tell everybody you did it all. Jesus' blessed name, I do humbly pray. Amen, and you can be seated. Then she came, the Bible said, to the man of God. And he said unto her, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. Live thou and thy children of the rest. I won't preach a little while tonight on more than enough. She got her debt paid, but she had more than enough. Do you know that's one of the names of God? I preached for 6 months one time every Sunday night on a name of God in the Bible. Came to that name El Shaddai. It means the God that's more than enough. That's him. Yes, sir. Go sell the oil. Pay thy debt and live thou and thy children on the rest. Amen. You'll have more than enough.
Amen.
When the debt's paid. Now,
amen.
Three or four things here. God's writing on the wall of my mind. I'll pass on to you and we'll go home. First thing I'm seeing tonight is her emergency.
Amen.
What's going on here? Her husband is dead. Now, most husbands and fathers try to make arrangements, preacher, that if something happens to them, their family's going to be taken care of. I know some daddies that's sacrificing to pay an insurance policy that their families will be cared for if they're to be killed or die. Others making investments here and yonder so their wife will be cared for. Their little young'uns will be cared for if they die suddenly. That didn't happen here. This husband died and left his wife in bad shape.
Amen.
Now, he's one of the sons of the prophets. I mean, this ain't some kind of wicked man. This is a godly man. This tells me that emergencies come to the godly. These things happen to godly people. He's a good man. Died and left his family in bad shape. Leave them no insurance policy, nothing in the way of investments. And to make matters worse, only thing he did leave them with was indebtedness.
Amen.
And he owed somebody.
That's right.
And that creditor is coming now to take her two sons and make them no more than a slave to pay off that indebtedness.
Amen.
She's got double trouble.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, can you imagine what an emergency is going on in this woman's life? She comes to the old prophet.
Right.
Yes, sir. And tells Elisha, here that she's got a need. And he says, what shall I do unto thee? I read that off the wall of my mind one day, and I got to thinking, well, it's pretty obvious to me what she needs. Why would he say that? Matter of fact, he asked her two questions. That's the first one. What shall I do unto thee? And I thought, Elisha, you ought to know what's the matter with her. I mean, here her husband's dead, and they're coming to take her two boys. It's pretty obvious to me what she's needing. Something to pay that debt. Then God showed me something that I'd overlooked. He's wanting to hear her say it. It's very obvious to our God, for he's omniscient. What I need and what you need. Better believe it's obvious to him. But he still wants you to tell him. And we have not because we what? That's why some of you may leave here tonight still needing something.
Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
Too much old stinking pride or something to get down here and tell God.
Amen.
And own up to it. He's waiting to hear from you.
Amen.
He's wanting you to tell him.
Amen. Amen.
Daddy told me he had a son in college, you know, and he'd said that boy'd write him every month and said, "Dad, you hadn't sent me anything yet. Why do I have to write and tell you every month what I need?" Daddy wrote him back and said, "That's the only way I'd ever hear from you." Some of you can identify with that, can't you? And sometimes that's the way it is with the Lord. I mean, if he didn't allow a great need in their life, he wouldn't hear much from us, would he? And so even though it's obvious, he still wants you to tell him. Question number two. What hast thou in thy house? She took inventory right quick, no doubt, you know, couldn't come up with anything. And then she happened to think, save a pot of oil.
Amen.
Kind of inventory your house tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Save a pot of oil. I hear old Elisha say, that's all you need. That's it. Now, there'll be some times, I'll guarantee you, when you've got a need that ain't enough in your house to take care of it. You won't be able to come up with enough to meet that need. But did you know you still got what it takes?
Amen.
Amen.
To meet that need.
Amen.
You have something that I know you got. What's that, preacher? The old apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, he's dealt every man a measure of what? Faith.
Amen.
Now, it may not be a mountain of faith. Maybe like that mustard seed we read about in Matthew 17. But he said that's enough to move a mountain.
Amen.
Amen.
May not be much, but it's enough to get the job done.
Amen.
I mean, just a measure, just a mustard seed.
Amen.
Worth of faith. Enough to get the job done. If you put that faith in the right thing. You know, we hear a lot about terrorists these days. Well, Israel did too. I mean, they come, these Assyrians, and they'd crowd, they'd surround them, Scott, try to starve them out. Deprive them of water. 21st chapter of Isaiah, they're in that kind of predicament. And God told that prophet to tell them this. Prepare the table. Verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 21. Watch in the watchtower. Eat. Drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. You know what he's telling them to do? Just keep on doing what you've been a-doing. See those terrorists back yonder at the turn of the century? They're trying to change our lifestyle. But we had some leaders that rose up and said, hey, let's don't let them do that. Let's just keep on doing what we've been a-doing. Hey, they wasn't the first one to come up with that.
That's right. Amen.
God told that crowd all the way back in the book of Isaiah, just keep on doing, eat, drink, watch in the watchtower, prepare the table. Just keep on doing what you've been a-doing.
Amen.
And then he said something God had my attention. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Now that don't make a lick of sense unless you're aware of how they went about warfare in that day. Those Israelites had wooden shields to protect them on the battlefield. And those spears of the enemy and the arrows hit that wooden shield and they just shake them off. Still had protection. So the enemy came up with a new kind of spear, an arrow. It had barbs on them like a fish hook. And when they'd hit that shield, you couldn't shake it off. And now, preacher, that enemy had a 6-foot lever that they could use to snatch away that shield, and there you stood vulnerable on the battlefield. No shield, you see. But God gave them the answer. You see, before they ever went to battle, they sacrificed the lamb. And God told them to take that lamb skin and cover that shield. Now when those barbed arrows and spears hit that shield, they glance off. That lamb skin. Right here's what I like. When they stepped on the battlefield, between them and the enemy, they had the lamb. But those lamb skins would dry out and wouldn't be effective. And so when that happened, God told them to put oil on that lamb skin. Anoint the shield. Now that made them more effective than ever. Hallelujah. That's what Isaiah 21:5 is about. Anoint the shield. Glory to God now. Not only they got the lamb between them and the enemy, they got the power of the Holy Ghost. And buddy, when they step on the battlefield, I mean, listen, with their faith in the lamb and the power of the Holy Ghost, the enemy ain't got nothing that can be effective against them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you go to battle out here in this world, buddy, with your faith in anything short of the Lamb of God and the Spirit of God, and the devil's going to gobble you up. But when we step on the battlefield with our faith in the Lamb of God and the Spirit of God, the devil ain't got a weapon. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know how I stay as quiet as I do, J.D. Amen. I stand before you tonight with my faith in the Lamb of God and the Spirit of God. And old Slewfoot ain't got a weapon, thank God. Amen. That he can effectively, woo, hallelujah, use against me. That little bit of faith, it may not be much. But if it's in the right person, I can hear old Elisha say, hey, that's all you need. You've already got all you need. Some of you did and don't know it. Yes, sir. He's dealt to every man a measure. So don't try to tell me you ain't got none. Word of God says you have, didn't he, preacher? Yes, sir. Right here's what are you doing with what you got? Huh? That brings me to the third thing I'm looking at here. The exercising of her faith. That old prophet said, go in, shut the door, start pouring. What's she doing? She's exercising her faith. Can you imagine how much faith it had to take? Some faith, I mean, little old pot of oil pouring into a 55-gallon barrel. She couldn't get it all poured out, could she? Bring me another vessel. Matter of fact, the oil didn't stay till she ran out of vessels. If they'd accumulated enough vessels, she'd still been pouring. You know what I'm saying? The shortage will never be on God's part. The shortage will be on my part and on your part. It'll never be on God's part. That oil poured till she run out of a place to put it. Well, the Bible said, the old prophet said, shut the door. On something dawned. I used to say, I've had to change my mind about some stuff, Scott, over the years. I preach a lot on storms. Somebody asked me, said, when you want to quit preaching about storms? I said, when they quit coming. Yes, sir. And I used to say, you either headed for a storm, you're in a storm, or coming out of a storm. And I said that for a long time till something dawned on me, preacher. That didn't leave no time for the sun to shine. And blessed be God, I do have some sunshiny days. And I used to say, discouragement was the greatest tool of the devil, because he worked me over with nothing else except the numbers on the attendance board on Sunday. Discourage you, you know. Huh? And I'd say that's the greatest tool of the devil. But I've changed my mind. God help me right here in this scripture when that old prophet said, shut the door. Instead of a discouragement, I believe distraction is the greatest tool of the devil. Boy, that's why I ever seat in your church, preachers, ain't got somebody in on Sunday morning, they got distracted.
Yes, sir.
Any way on earth he can distract people, he'll do it. But if she's shutting out the distractions when she shut that door, ain't nothing going to distract her now.
Amen.
Amen. If it wasn't for distractions, we'd read the Word of God more, wouldn't we? If it wasn't for distractions, we'd pray more.
Amen.
If it wasn't for distractions, we'd witness more.
Amen. Amen.
But he's all got all these old distractions, you know.
Amen.
Glory to God, we need to shut the door on them once in a while, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Get on doing what we know we ought to be doing for God.
Amen.
Shut that door and get to pouring. And boy, she's exercising her faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Preacher said that he's wanting to go on a mission trip. And he won't take his wife along. But he said they had no money. And he said he prayed about it. And time was coming. They had to have their money in for their airfare. No money. He said he's driving downtown past the bank, and God said they've got money. He said he parted and went inside. And he said, I ain't the smartest feller on earth, but I have learned to go to top man if you don't get something done. I mean, if your temperature changed in here, talk Scott. Bless God, no need to talk to me after what he said. Go to top, buddy.
Amen.
So he said he walked in and asked to see the president of the bank. And they said, he's not here. They said, the vice president's here. Said, I won't see him. They said, all right, if he's not busy. And so they went and checked and motioned for him. He went into the vice president's office, Scott. Sit down and said, I need some money on a short-term loan, about 90-day loan. Said, well, that seems easy enough. Said, how much you want? He said, he told him. Well, he said, sir, have you got an account here at this bank? And he said, yeah, I've got two of them. He said, I've got a checking account and a savings account. He said, how much is in your checking account? He said, not much. He said, what about your savings account? He said, about the same. He said, but do you own any land? He said, no, sir. He said, do you own a car? He said, yes, sir. He said, it's got 280,000 miles on it, but it's mine. Said, that banker backed up and said he had on a pair of these glasses, just half glasses, you know, half lens. And said he looked at him over top of those half lens and said, sir, you may be a good man. But he said, banks operate on what they call collateral. He said, do you have any collateral? Oh, yeah. He said, what do you have in the way of collateral? He said, faith. He said, that banker scooted his chair back and looked over top of them half lens glasses and said, mister, banks don't loan money on faith. He said, by the way, before you leave, he said, what do you want that money for? He said, well, I had my heart set on preaching on a mission trip. Me and my wife was wanting to go on. I have no money for the ticket. And he said, we don't have any money. He said, that banker started to cry. And he said, mister, I'm going to let you have this money on faith. He said, now I wish I could tell you. He said, 2 weeks out of the 90 days it took for the trip. So he said, I came back, and I wish I could tell you the money just quickly came in, you know, but he said it didn't come that way. He said people heard of my need and said some would give me $3 or $4. Once in a while somebody would give me $5. He said I'd get $30, $40, and I'd run down to the bank and pay it on my loan. And he said that's the way it came in those 90 days. But he said about 3 days before the 90 was up, I had enough for the last payment. He said, I walked into that bank and asked to see the vice president. I said, nobody's with him. Go on in. He said he walked in, Scott, and laid that last payment down on that banker's desk and said, sir, faith still works. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm glad, folks, I can stand here before you tonight and tell you, hallelujah, faith still works. My God, what do you need? May not be much faith you can come up with, but you've got a measure of faith. Boy, if you just exercise what little you got tonight. Woo, hallelujah. Think about what in the name of God, amen, might take place. You get around this whole altar and exercise what little faith you've got. I'm here to tell you, faith still works. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'll close with this. Not only her examination and her emergency and exercising her faith, but I'm seeing her excess. Lord, have mercy. How do I stay as quiet as I do preaching?
Amen, Doc. Amen.
She paid that debt.
Yes. In full.
Her and them boys lived on the rest. And I don't believe they had to skimp.
Right.
That's the way God operates.
Amen. Amen.
Excess. Hallelujah. My Lord, He knows when.
Oh,
yeah. I need to get blessed right good.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Boy, you know, every once in a while, preachers, you'll have a long dry spell, not even little old youngin' to walk the aisle. Boy, and you won't see somebody saved so bad you can taste it. Pray and pray. Dead as a hammer, seems like, you know, in that regard. But God knows.
Boy, yes, dog. Boy, yes, dog.
Amen.
Boy, when I about had it.
Amen.
I preached during the summer 3 times on Sunday. A lot of Sundays. Twice in the pulpit at Spring Creek and 2 o'clock in some graveyard at what they call decorations in the mountains.
Yeah.
Now, I talked to that crowd in South Carolina about decorations. You know, I'm speaking Greek to them. They don't know what that is. They bury them, forget them, boy, I reckon. If you hear them from South Carolina, I can't help it. I'm just telling you how it is. They look at me funny if I talk about decoration. But I mean, I take some singers, man, and they sing and I preach in that graveyard. Matter of fact, when I explained to them these other places about that, I said, don't look at me funny. I preach many dead down here as I do in them graveyards. Amen. Back yonder in the mountain.
Amen.
The last one I have is on the first Sunday of September in the year. This past September, the first Sunday, it was raining. Closer we got to 2 o'clock, the heavier the rain was beginning to fall. Right down at the bottom of the hill below the cemetery was a big barn. Big empty barn. I said, let's go to the barn. Came down, boy, listen, went in that barn, and I mean, man, this flood came. I mean, I had to holler to be heard. That rain on that tin roof. But there's an old hay wagon, you know, in that barn. I got a couple of them helped me get up on that hay wagon, you know. And for about 30 minutes, I told them everything God told me right off that hay wagon, man. There's an old fella there. Wasn't right with God, Scott. Closer to 90 than he was 85. If he wasn't already 90, he will be in a year or two. Sitting there not right with God. They brought him a chair. He's so old he couldn't stand like the rest of them. His boy had brought him a chair, and he's sitting in that old barn, me preaching off that hay wagon. I looked down, and that old 90-year-old man, preacher, sitting down there crying. Boy, God got a hold of his heart. Man, he couldn't wait for me to get in to tell the rest of them what God done for him sitting there.
Amen.
How he got right with God.
Amen.
He attends Calvary Baptist Church in Johnson City, Tennessee. Wasn't right with God. His pastor called me. And Brother Jim told me, said, Preacher Bob, he said, Floyd took a half hour telling us about that barn experience.
Oh, Lord.
And what God did for him in that barn. Now he said, Preacher Bob, he said, he wants you to come over here and baptize him. I said, when? He said, as soon as possible. He thinks he's going to die, you know, any time. And said he wants to get baptized, follow Jesus and believe his baptism before he dies. I said, all right. I said, Jim, next Sunday is old-fashioned day and I can't come. Well, he said, the second Sunday, we go to Four Oaks Nursing Home. And I can't do it then. Be there. Well, I said, the third Sunday, that's Father's Day. And we can't do it then. I said, it'll have to be the 28th, the last Sunday in June. He went and told Floyd, Daddy said it won't work. That's too long. Well, he told him all be going on, you know. He said, I'll tell you what, you call that nursing home, tell them you ain't coming. Jim said, yes, sir. I went over at 3 o'clock this past Sunday and baptized that old man. I told him, I said, now, Brother Jim, I can't get him in that water. I said, he's too feeble and old. Might hurt him even trying myself. Hey, he had two fellas there that looked to me like bouncers out of a bar. I mean, they had muscle. Had their heads shaved. I mean, they literally picked old Floyd up, buddy. I told them old fellas, I said, Jim's bringing the extra clothes. No, why, preacher? I said, sometimes I get nervous, I might drag you into water. I baptized that old man 3 o'clock this past Sunday. Man, I felt like shouting. That rock didn't get to say a word, and I went back to church Sunday night. Boy, God knows, don't he? Hallelujah, when the bless us right good. I can't ever remember being to camp meeting, Scott, not getting blessed. Not one time. Hallelujah. What I feel in this place tonight. I never take for granted everybody's a Christian. You hear lost and undone without God, he'll save you tonight. If you'll ask him to. You can go home, pillar your head, not have to worry about hell no more. Pick up enough lamb here tonight to get you home. Musicians going to come. Amen. We're going to stand all of this auditorium. What hast thou in the house? You say, preacher, I sure have got a mountain of a need. You've already got in your possession what it takes to wipe out that indebtedness, that need. Hey, we were all debtors. Our forefathers, old Adam, both created a debt I could not pay, Scott. The old songwriter said, but Jesus came and paid a debt he did not owe. Because I had a debt I couldn't pay. Boy, I feel like sometimes I could just run out on the rim of the world and give three hoops for Jesus. I'd feel better. Glory to his name. You say, preacher, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm going to exercise what little faith I got tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to direct my faith in the right direction tonight. Son, tell him what God do for you. Put your faith in him. Oh, we fight a lot of battles in this old world. The old devil sees to that, don't he? But I'm here to tell you, step on the battlefield come morning with your faith in the Lamb of God and the Spirit of God, and the devil ain't got nothing. He can throw against you effectively. Hallelujah. I don't know from which direction you came tonight, but God knows. And he knows what's going on in your heart and mind right now. You say, preacher, more than anything on earth right now, I'm going to come and exercise my faith. You know, if you don't exercise it, it'll weaken. I'm told by the medical profession, you can take a perfectly healthy arm, Scott, put it in a sling. 6 months, it'll get so weak you can't use it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Reckon what's happening to your faith because you ain't exercised it enough lately. God bless you, honey. That's right, my God. Hallelujah.